As I said, our subject tonight is on family leadership. And so we want to consider that, and we can think of it in a few different thoughts, that there's various roles in the family where there's opportunities and responsibilities for leadership. First, we recognize that of a husband. In the husband-wife relationship, he is to provide the leadership. And so that's important, but we think as well for both the husband as father and then for the wife as mother, that they have that responsibility to provide leadership to the children in the home. But then as well, we think in sibling relationships that the older siblings have a tremendous opportunity to provide leadership as well. And so in these various roles, not only is it necessary to provide leadership, it is also necessary to provide the right kind of leadership. And I think in a lot of ways we want to understand that we are, people are following us, whether we realize it or not, whether necessarily we want to or not, them to or not. And so we have to be leading them in the right way. And many times we aren't really thinking in those terms, especially, say, as older siblings, of the leadership that we're providing or failing to provide. But it's very important. And it's a thought that the responsibility of leadership can make us feel uncomfortable. We can feel inadequate for the task of leadership. We want to understand that with God's help, we can learn to fulfill our leadership roles in the way that will bless and benefit our family as a whole. And so we want to consider that this evening. So first off, we want to ask why family leadership is needed. A lot of times, anything that we do, it's important to know why. It gives us a reason why, gives us some focus so we know what we're supposed to be doing. So why is family leadership needed? Why can't we all just kind of let everybody do their own thing and live their own lives separately and just not really worry about that? Well, there's a lot of good reasons. First off, we need to know that family leadership is needed in order to provide wisdom. We see that in the Psalms with Solomon. That's the whole reason why he wrote the Psalms, was to pass on wisdom to his son. He says in Proverbs 1 verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother." We see as well in Proverbs 4, where he says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." That we need wisdom. There's a lot of things that can get us into a lot of trouble, and we need to be able to have some discernment to avoid some of those pitfalls. And just living life, that there's times where we get in, well, how do I do this? How do I deal with this situation? In the family role, that especially for those that have a bit more maturity, a bit more experience, we're able to provide wisdom to those needing it. As well, family leadership is needed to provide focus and direction. That a lot of times it's easy for us to wander and get involved in many things that are of no profit, and sometimes can be harmful, and so we need that direction. We see Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." That there is a way that we should go, a path that we should follow, and so that needs to be laid out to a child when they're young, so that then when they're old, they know what is the right path. We see Proverbs 22:15, rod and proof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We can't just allow our children to just find their own way in life, because when we go our own way, it usually leads to destruction. And so we want to help them and give them that leadership they need. As well, not only is family leadership needed to provide focus and direction, it's also needed to provide prompt correction for misdirection. Because that's the thing, is that we can get off track easily. All of us can. It talks about in Isaiah 53 about all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And a lot of times there's a way that seems right to us, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we need someone there to kind of let us know, for our own safety, for our own self-preservation. It says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And that's kind of the thing, is that we can get in a wrong mindset, we can get used to doing wrong, and if there's no correction of that, it becomes easy to get set in that wrong way, and that can be very dangerous. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, we see this thought, talking about not to withhold correction from a child, because as you give them correction, you deliver their soul from hell. And that's the thing, ultimately, is that we don't want them to destroy themselves by their bad decisions. We want to guide them rightly. And specifically, we think that of, we want them to come to know the Lord, to walk in His ways, and not end up a life where they reject God and they spend eternity forever separated from Him. And so we want to help them. We're trying to save their lives in many ways, save their souls. That's key. As well, family leadership is needed to provide protection from evil influences. And that's what we really want to understand, is that if we don't provide leadership, there are many other individuals and other organizations and others that are more than willing to fill that void. And you kind of think of that a lot of times you have young people where they join a gang, right? And it's because, say, they don't have a good family life, they don't have a father at home or something, they're looking for some that they can belong to, some bigger than themselves, and so they're willing to jump into that. But it's the thing is, when you have family leadership, they realize, no, that's not for me. I have something else that I can be guided by and identify with. And so it's very important that we need to have that leadership, just because there are a lot of bad influences around us, and our children need that protection. But as well, we see we need family leadership in order to provide spiritual enlightenment. That it's not something that we naturally understand, and so it's something that needs to be taught. And we see this principle given in Psalm 78, where he says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Do not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that a generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." And that's the thing, is that's what we're supposed to do. We're to pass that on, and it's supposed to be generationally passed on, so that we would set our hope in God not forget what God has done, and that we would obey what God says. But then as well, family leadership is needed to prevent the repeat of past mistakes. We see that in the next verse there. It says, it might not be as their fathers. A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And that's, I think, something that we recognize, that none of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes. If we've made mistakes and we've suffered from those mistakes, for those that are following us, those in our family that we have responsibility for, we really want to say, okay, I don't want them to unnecessarily suffer the same heartache and sorrow and suffering I did for a bad decision. And so I am going to try to help them to make the right decisions. And that's the thing, is that our stubbornness and rebelliousness, specifically our rebellion against God, gets us into a lot of trouble. And so we want to help them, people. There's a lot of times these family curses that tend to pass down from generation to generation, and we instead want to break that cycle. So I don't want you to make these same mistakes. And so I'm warning you for your own good. And so it's those are all things that we understand the why of family leadership. But secondly, we want to consider the idea of the goals of family leadership. And this you could think of in a different way. If we looked at the why of family leadership, this is the where of family leadership. Because you think of it this way, that if we're leading others, we need to ask, okay, well, where am I leading them to? Where are we going? Okay. We need to have a destination in mind that we're leading them to. And it needs to be, we need to understand it. And in many ways, the people that we're leading need to understand that too, right? That it's kind of, if we don't have any idea ourselves, how are they going to have any confidence to follow us, right? And so we have to have that destination in mind. But we want to understand, it's not just setting goals, it's setting the right goals. Because first off, we think setting the wrong goals will inevitably lead the family into disappointment and despair. We think of Solomon, of how he had these different pursuits, and he invested his life in these things, and he got to the end of them, and he found that they were vanity and vexation of spirit, and it says that he even hated life. Because he just thought all that he did was a waste. And so we want to think of that, that there's some goals that we can have, we can set that really, that we're not, they're things of this earth, they're things that are not of true value, and it can be like wanting status or fame or success as the world defines it. And it's interesting. It's, I think, very important when we ever think in terms of success. I think it's wise for us to remember that the Bible only uses the word success once. And that's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And I think this kind of gives us an idea in terms of what our goal is, what we're trying to instill as we seek to provide leadership to our families. It says this in Joshua 1 verse 9, it says, this book of the law, speaking of course, the law of Moses, but we would identify it now or refer to the whole Bible, shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so that's really the key to success, is where we know God's word, we mull over it in thought, and as we focus on it in thought, that it leads us to put it into action, that that's what really is going to help us. And so we want to understand that and have the right goals. That success as the world defines it is usually empty. But success as God defines it is very fulfilling. This is a thought, too, that setting unrealistic, unattainable goals will only lead the family into discouragement and frustration. And the Bible warns us that we're not to provoke our children to anger lest they be discouraged. And it's the thing, if we put something, we have this expectation that is totally unreasonable, then all that's going to do, it's going to frustrate them, it's going to frustrate us. And so you can kind of think of that we can have these ideas of, for some it might be an idea where they want their child to be some kind of child prodigy in music, or it could be they want them to be the next superstar in hockey or whatever it might be, and they push and push and it's kind of the thing is where sometimes, sadly, it's sort of like where a parent has dreams and tries to live them through vicariously through their child, and it's unfortunate, and it's not healthy. And but there's sometimes we can have this expectation of kind of perfection, where just the way that we expect people to act and everything like that, that's it's kind of the thing when you're expecting like a toddler to be always polite and always in control, sitting still and never talking out of turn, that's something where that's maybe where you want to get them to, but at their age that's something where it's more than you should be expecting of them at that point. So it's kind of the thing is where we set goals like that, it'll discourage those that we're trying to push in that direction, and it'll bring frustration to us all. But then as well, setting superficial goals, while achievable, can cause to miss out on what is most essential. And that's the thing, is that we can look at different things. Well, we want them, we can set our sights too low or for things that are not as essential and necessary. We can think, well, I want our kids to have a good education, and that's valuable. But we realize that they need to be able to have character as well as education, right? That there's things that are necessary. That sometimes we can have this thought of how we want them to be well behaved in front of other people, and we can train them and direct them to that. But we have to be very careful with that, because what we can do is set up our kids to be Pharisees, where they know how to put on the act in front of people, but their heart isn't really in it. Their heart hasn't really changed. That they're being disingenuous with their behavior. And we're not just looking for appearance. We're not just looking to impress people. We want there to be real growth, real character development. And so that's the thing. We can set these superficial goals and we might even attain them, but it's easy for us to miss out on what's most essential. And so we want to identify biblical goals of family leadership. And by no means would this be exhaustive. I just have three main thoughts here, but just want to present them to you and give it to be something for thought, that this is a goal that God has for us. This is where God's saying, okay, this is where I want you to go as a family. This is with the people you're influencing, where I want you to get them to. And so first off, the biblical goal for family leadership is to have hearts that are prepared for a relationship with God. And that's what we saw in Psalm 78, where it's the whole idea that they teach children about God so that they would set their hope in God, not forget God, but keep His commandments. That we want, like, and you think about it in so many different ways, that the relationship that is in the family is really to be a reflection of God's relationship with us. That we think of God being our Father, And how even the husband-wife relationship, that we're to love our wife as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. We think as well that for us as believers, we're adopted to God's family, that Jesus is our big brother. And so there's a lot that we want to be a reflection of God to others in terms of love, in terms of compassion, in terms of integrity and other things, that we want to not ever be a barrier to someone coming to the Lord and developing a relationship with them. We want to be an encouragement and directing them that way. And it's the thing is that that's what is necessary, is our hearts need to prepare it. Our hearts tend to wander, and we need to learn to guide our hearts in a way to not trust our own hearts, but to keep our hearts with all diligence. And so we're trying to train those that we have influence over to have their hearts prepared. Think of Ezra, where it says that he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And that's what we want to have, we want to develop in them. We think of Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles 12:14, where it says of him that he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And so we want to do that. We want those in our family to be open to God, be ready to listen to his leadings, and to not be scared of God, but to really understand who he is and how much he loves them and how much he can be a help to them throughout their lives. But as well, another biblical goal of family leadership, and we want to understand this in terms of preparing them for life, is respect of authority. That there's, with all of us, the problem in our hearts so often that gets us into so much trouble is rebellion, where we don't want anyone to tell us what to do. We want to be our own boss. And from when we're very little, we have that heart of defiance, where kind of one of the first words and favorite words that kids learn is the word no, and where they don't want to do what mom or dad says. But what we see in 1 Samuel 15:23, God says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, that it's a serious thing and it's going to get us in a lot of trouble. And so from the beginning, children are to learn to obey their parents, right? That's what we see in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. And we see even with Jesus, with Joseph and Mary, that it says that he was subject unto them. And so we understand that during the time that we all have to learn to submit to authority in life. And then we need to learn it young. And it's kind of the thing, if we never learn that, it's going to hinder us for the rest of our lives. That because we're supposed to show respect to our employer, we're supposed to show respect to our government. We see in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And as well, we're supposed to respect those that are spiritual authority in our lives. We think of that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. And verse 17 speak of this, where it says, remember them that have the rule over you, have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. As well, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so we see that it's very important that we instill that we all learn, and it's something that we have to teach by example as well, that we have a respect for authority. And that's something that you can think of back to the idea of when we have the wrong goals in mind, because you can have this idea of, say you want your child to become this next hockey superstar, right? And you're playing a game and the ref makes a bad call and you're upset with the ref because they're basically in that moment seeming to hold back your child from their greatness, and so you react with disrespect to that referee, that you're going to hamper your child by doing that. That if they have this idea that they can swear at and disrespect authority, that's not going to help them in life. And so we want to realize that it's it doesn't mean that they just become dumb sheep and they don't have a mind of their own. But it means that they have respect and they know that they have to honor authority, because ultimately all of us are under God's authority, and we need to honor His authority. We need to respect Him, do what He says, because He wants to lead us towards life and blessing. And to reject His leadership never ends well for us. So we need to learn that. But then as well, we want to understand too, in terms of a biblical goal of family leadership, is proper, balanced development. Because sometimes we can focus on some aspects and totally neglect others. We can be focused very much on athletic development and achievement. We can focus very much on academics and having them become very smart and educated. But we want to realize we've got to think of the whole picture, that there needs to be a completeness to what we're seeking to see developed in them. And we see this Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, and Jesus, speaking of when He grew up, became a man, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so we really see that because growing up is more than just going through a growth spurt and getting taller, right? There's so much more to adulthood than just gaining in size. Okay, you have to learn to control that body, but you understand that there's more to it. We need to grow not just in stature, we also need to grow in wisdom. And so we want to think about it, that our proper balance of health is physical, mental, spiritual, and social. That you think of it, you grow in wisdom, that's mental, in stature, that's physical, in favor with God, that's spiritual, in favor with man, that's social. That we want to learn how, and I think that's very important, how do we learn to have a relationship with God? That we need to teach people how to do that, how to learn to walk with God. That's essential. But as well, it's the idea too, is we want to teach them how to interact with their fellow man in a good way. That it's a lot of times we can miss that, it's the thing is that we can push them into sometimes different situations they're not ready for. We don't provide them the guidance, and sometimes they can be in a situation where peer pressure is very negative and directing them the right wrong way, and they need to know how to handle that, just how to conduct themselves well, where they can express their opinion without being critical and judgmental. They can stand up for themselves when they need to. They can stand up for others when it's necessary. But that they can just learn to treat others with respect and be willing to listen to them and value them as people. That those are all things that God wants us to pass along to others. And so we wanna have that, and like it's the thing is that some of this is in a way kind of big picture things, but at the same time I think we can realize we can kind of break down these things into kind of daily lessons towards these bigger picture things. And these are not unreasonable things to seek for. We look at them, this makes a lot of sense. And God wants to help us reach these goals. And so we kind of have to have this in the back of our minds and kind of each day think, okay, how do I, with those who I am in the position of giving leadership to, how do I get them one step further to these goals each day? And so we want to plan that out and try to find practical ways we can do that. So we've looked at kind of the why of family leadership. We've also looked at the goals or really the where of family leadership. But lastly tonight, we want to kind of consider the how of family leadership and look at the right approach to family leadership, kind of the method that we use as we're trying to lead others. That you have a lot of different leadership styles that we see demonstrated. Some of them we greatly appreciate, others we despise, and it's something I think it's wise for us to learn from our interactions with our own leadership, kind of evaluate carefully, take the good with the bad, because sometimes we can react against one kind of leadership and go in entirely the opposite direction, and we can miss out in that. And so want to highlight first off what we could identify as wrong approaches to family leadership. And usually it's kind of with these two that I'm going to mention, it's usually we kind of flip from one to the other. And neither of them is really where we want to go, but we sometimes think they're the only alternative. And so the first is abdication of leadership, where we don't really want to lead, we don't want to rock the boat, we want to kind of smooth things over, we want to be our child's friend, not the one that has to lay down the law. And so we can try to pass it on. We can try to think, well, maybe someone else will do it. Sometimes we can basically think, okay, well, hopefully they'll have some good teachers or maybe a good youth leader or somebody, and they'll kind of do what's necessary to help guide them in the right way. And so we don't do what we should do, what we need to do. And the thing is, we're in the role God has placed us for a reason. We're closer to that person than anyone else, and they need us to show leadership. It's not an option. But the thing is we go from abdication of leadership to authoritarian leadership, and that's where we basically we can try to get them where we want them to go, and we can do it very harshly. We can use anger as a motivator, that we try to push them in the direction we want, and we might kind of get them to move the way that we want, but a lot of times we're destroying the relationship at the same time. They're doing it out of fear, not out of love, and not out of respect. And as they get older, it's going to probably get to a point where it's going to foster rebellion within them, and they're not going to want to listen to anything you have to say. So we want to realize those aren't the right ways. And so thankfully, we see when we're trying to find, okay, what is the right way to lead family, whether it's as a husband to his wife, whether it's a parent to a child, whether it's an older sibling to a younger sibling, we see that God provides the instruction example for the right approach to leadership. And we can really define it in two different ways. First off, we can define the right approach to leadership as servant leadership. servant leadership. In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45, it says, "Jesus called them and said to them, 'You know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" And so we see that of servant leadership, where we show ourselves to be the leader by being willing to serve others. So we don't lord it over others that we're the boss and we have to put them under our heel, but instead that we're there for them. And that's the leadership that God gives, the leadership that Christ himself example. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve others and to give his life for us. But not only can we think of God's approach to leadership being defined as servant leadership, we can also see it being defined as shepherd leadership. We think of what David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We think of Jesus, where he speaks of himself in John chapter 10, that "I am the good shepherd." And he speaks of how he looks after his flock. And so that is the thought of a shepherd looking after his sheep. And that's not something that we see as much nowadays, but we want to kind of understand. I think we have some frame of reference we can go from. You think of it this way, that if you have a flock of sheep, there's a couple different ways you can get them where you want them to go. One, you can use sheepdogs and have the dog come around and push them from behind, right? And a lot of times they'll get them to go. They might have to nip their heels, but how does the sheepdog get them to move forward? It's usually by fear, right? That they don't want the dog to nip them, and so they're moving forward, and that's sometimes the leadership we need to think, that we're on people, we're always back behind them, pushing them forward, moving them the way we want, and prodding them if they're not moving fast enough. But we see that's not the approach God shows. That he's a shepherd and he leads them to where they need to go. That he goes there first and he calls them to himself, and they follow him because they trust him, because they know that he loves them. And that's the thing, is that those in our family are looking for leadership from us. And when we're willing to give that leadership, they're generally willing to follow if we have the right heart, the right attitude, and they can sense that. And so we want to understand, those are the idea of servant leadership. Shepherd leadership is what God wants us to learn to demonstrate. And so I just want to, in the time we have left, is just consider some of these characteristics of servant or shepherd leadership. And so first off, we understand that this approach to leadership is characterized by being based upon mutual knowledge and trust. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger." And we see verse 14 as well in that passage, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." And so it's the idea is that he is able to lead us, his sheep, because he knows us, because we know him. We're not afraid of him. We can trust him. We submit to his guidance in our lives. And And it's the thing is, a lot of times when we struggle to follow God, it's because we don't really know Him as we should. The more we get to know Him, the more we learn to trust Him, the more we will follow Him. And so we really want to understand that we lead based on knowing those people that we're leading, having them know us, developing that mutual knowledge and trust. It talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3 that husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. They're supposed to know their wives, understand them, and know what their needs are, what their struggles are, and be sensitive to that. And as they lead them, if they have that sensitivity, that's important. So secondly, this type of leadership is characterized by the recognition and provision of needs. That's the idea of being a servant, where it's like, what are their needs? How can I meet those needs? We think of Psalm 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." That we recognize the needs of our family members. And those needs can be physical, and we can think of, providing their needs as a husband, providing, bringing in money to provide for the home. We think of as the wife and mother, of making the meals and things that there's recognizing, people have needs, need to meet those needs. But we want to understand is that our needs that we have as individuals are much more than just physical. A lot of times we have emotional needs. We need, say if we're fearful, we need some reassurance. If we're down, we need someone to encourage us. If we're sorrowful, we need someone to comfort us. That those are things we need to be aware of and be providing for others. We think of physical needs, we think of emotional needs, we can think of social and spiritual needs too, that they need interaction, need to have good friends, need to find ways that they can make positive connections with other people. And as well, we think spiritually, that we want to connect them with people that will encourage them spiritually. We want to connect them with God. We want to teach them how to pray, how to learn to trust the Lord, how to learn to walk with Him. They need that. We think of what Jesus said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And so it's the idea that we say, they need wisdom from God. They need to know that God has something for them from His Word that'll help them, and just teaching that and seeking to provide that for them. Thirdly, the right approach to family leadership is characterized by ensuring that those you are in leadership over are protected from danger. We think in Psalm 23 and verse 4, where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And we understand that sheep have really, they're defenseless in many ways. They can't protect themselves, and so they need someone to provide protection for them. They have a lot of predators, and they can't defend themselves effectively. And so it's the same as that. When you're in a position of leadership, you look at others that are more vulnerable, and you say, they need me to protect them, to stand up for them, to watch out for them. And you kind of think of that was the great failure of Adam in the Garden of Eden, that the serpent was beguiling Eve and he just stood there and watched. He didn't speak up, he didn't give her any kind of direction or guidance or protection at all. He just allowed her to succumb to the temptation, and then he fell prey to it as well. And so we need to provide that protection. Of course, we don't want to be in this, be so governed by our own anxiety and worry that we become kind of helicopter parents, where we're hovering over them and wrapping them in bubble wrap and trying to prevent them from ever having any kind of difficulty in life. There's things they have to be challenged in that they're not going to grow if they don't. But there are things that are more serious that we need to watch out for. And that's the thing. Sometimes we can be so, especially in what's going on right now with this coronavirus, we can be so concerned about protecting them from some kind of getting some kind of disease or physical ailment, but yet we cannot be wary of different bad influences that can be coming into their life. We think, well, this is no big deal. We can let this into my home, but some of those things are a lot more dangerous for them long term than some disease that their immune system is probably going to be able to defeat quite rapidly when they're young. And so we really want to think of that. But this is something too, when we think of that verse where it says, of his rod and his staff they comfort me, that you think those are two tools of the shepherd. And the rod, of course, you think that it's for basically, if there was a wolf coming, that the shepherd was able to beat that wolf off. But then as well you think of the staff, of the shepherd's staff. What do we recognize it? That it has a crook in the end. And what is that crook for? It's because many times what happens is a sheep starts wandering, not paying attention, not looking out, and there may be a hole or a drop off that they're not even aware of, and they're wandering away from where they go, and if there's not some kind of intervention, it could end up in disaster. And so the shepherd, being vigilant, caring for his sheep, will reach out with that shepherd's crook, grab that sheep, and pull it back to safety. And that's the thing, is that a lot of times we have to have that vigilance, rather, when we're in a position of leadership in our family, that we're watching out for one another, and we're thinking, okay, are they going astray? Are there things that they're pursuing after that are to their destruction? And we need to be vigilant. And a lot of times that's a challenge, is where we can be too self-absorbed doing our own thing that we're not watching out, and there's things that happen that those in our family can succumb to, and we should have been more careful in watching them. And so we have to be wise and be more vigilant in thinking of those things and trying to help them out for their own good. And again, not being overwhelming with it, but just being wise and making sure that while they are facing challenges in life, that we're not exposing them to unnecessary danger. Characteristic of servant or shepherd leadership is that it is self-sacrificial. We think of Jesus where he said that John chapter 10 and verse number 11, where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And we see that with the Lord Jesus, his care for us. And that's exactly what he did. He laid down his life for us. He knew that was necessary to save us from our sins, so he was willing to do that. And that's the thing, is that You think of David. When he was a boy, he was in charge of his father's sheep, and at different times he had predators come to try to steal one of the sheep. Once was a lion, once was a bear. And he could have just said, okay, well, they're very big and ferocious, and I'm just a boy, and I'm just going to have to go tell Dad, okay, well, we lost another sheep again. That bear came back. That lion came back. There's nothing I could do. But we see what happened is, no, he had this sense, okay, I'm in charge of these sheep, that I'm responsible. This is threatening them. I'm going to stand in the way, and I'm going to risk my life to save this sheep. And we see that he was relying upon the Lord to do that, and the Lord delivered him, and that's what gave him confidence when he was facing Goliath. So he said, God delivered me from the mouth of the bear, from the mouth of the lion. He allowed me to take care of them. He's going to allow me to take care of this giant. But we see that his heart was self-sacrificial, that he stood there and he was going to be willing to give his life for the sheep, just like the son of David was willing many centuries later. And so we want to see that attitude of being self-sacrificial, where it isn't all about us, where we're willing to give our time, willing to give our energies for those that are we're responsible for. And they need to be able to see that we value them and are willing to give of ourselves for them. But as well, what's characterized too by a servant or shepherd leadership is gentleness. We see there's a tendency to be harsh, to try to motivate people with anger, to kind of push them from behind. But we see this spoken of in Isaiah chapter 40, actually speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus and the Lord himself. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. That is, and this kind of goes too of the idea of having a knowledge of those you're caring for, that you don't push them beyond what they're capable of, right? You think the idea, if you have a ewe that's expecting, soon going to be giving birth, that if you have it go too long, that it could, and too quickly, and you're pushing it too far, too fast, that they could miscarry. And so it's the idea that you gently lead them. And lambs that are little, that they can't kind of keep up on their own, that he's willing to carry them. And so that's kind of the thing, is that there should be a gentleness demonstrated in our leadership. And that's something that David testified of the Lord, and how he valued the Lord's leadership. Let's see if I can find it. Yes, this is Psalm 18:35. It says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath hold me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And so that's really what we want to identify, where we can learn to be gentle, that demonstrates the leadership that we should have for our family. And so with all these, it's kind of getting the picture of what God wants for us and how God wants for us to be leaders. And I think the responsibility of leadership can at times seem overwhelming to us, that we have these people that we're responsible for. We seem so inadequate for the task. We don't know what to do. But we want to recognize that God tries to make it as simple for us as possible. And it becomes simple as we learn to follow God's leadership, and as we learn to exemplify the same leadership he shows to us, to our family. That he's not trying to get us to reinvent the wheel. He just says, follow me, and then I'll teach others, teach you to lead others. We think of what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. And that's the key, is that people need to see us following God, and as they see that, then that should inspire them to follow us. And so God provides the direction, He provides the example, and He provides the wisdom and the strength for us to lead and to lead well. And so the closer we draw to Him, the more we're enabled to provide our family with the leadership that it needs. And so I want to encourage you, and I know for myself it's not something where I would ever say I'm any kind of expert in terms of being a leader of my family or anyone else, but it's something that just because we don't maybe have it figured out or we've made mistakes doesn't mean we can't learn. And God wants to help us, and sometimes it gets to a point where we realize we've not been able to do a good job on our own, that's where we really turn to Him and we seek His help. And so I just want to encourage you in this, this is something that we all can learn, all areas that we can grow in and become better at, and just encourage you not to give up and just to recognize that your family needs your leadership. That it's a valuable thing, and God's put you in a position, and He wants to help you to be a success in that position, and He can do that as you draw close to Him. So that's the lesson for today, and so I hope it's been a help. And so we just encourage you throughout the week. If you have any struggles or challenges, you need some help, need some encouragement, feel free to reach out to me or to my wife or others. And we look forward. Next week we'll be broadcasting from a church building. So we're looking forward to that. And hopefully we can continue to be a blessing to you. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed for the evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the leadership you give us. We thank you for the love that you show to us. And we just pray that you would bless each one that watches this. Lord, just pray that you be encouragement, inspiration to them, and just help them in their situation, that you would teach them how to be the leaders you'd want them to be. Just guide us all through this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for tuning in once again. We'll see you all soon.